You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
For the first time in 2017 on this, the fourth day of the new year, we're talking Cubs baseball today with Kerry Muscat. Kerry, thank you for the time as always. And Kerry, of course, Cubs fans bid a bittersweet farewell to 2016, a year that changed the lives of Cubs fans forever, for the better, of course, but it's still full speed ahead to a hopeful title defense in 2017. So, Kerry, I want to ask you, I know this is a popular time of year to get questions from fans in the inbox, and with that in mind, what is the most popular question or concern that you're hearing from Cubs fans as they hope for back-to-back titles in 2017?
Well, there's actually been two topics of concern. One is whether or not the team has enough starting pitching, and then the second one is who's going to lead off with now that Dexter Fowler has left and joined the Cardinals. As far as the starting pitching goes, I can understand the Cubs fans' concern a little bit, because last year they started and they had Adam Warren and Trevor Cahill and Travis Wood were sort of projected as insurance. They all wound up in the bullpen, but they were projected as being, you know, backups just in case they needed an extra starter. I'm not sure that the names of the pitchers that are projected for that this year are names that any Cubs fans, not too many Cubs fans know. So it's we're talking Rob Sestrinski and Jake Buchanan, Aaron Brooks and Seth Frankoff, who are all projected to start the season at Triple A Iowa, but they could get starts, you know, if needed. Of course, you're always hoping that you can ride your five starters for the rest of the year, but they could be guys to watch in spring training just to see them get stretched out a little bit and see them get some action. As far as leadoff guy, I'm sure it's going to be a hot topic at the Cubs convention, which is coming up. Joe Maddon has tossed out Kyle Schwarber's name, which isn't a bad option. Of course, you know, players like to tell you they only lead off once. Schwarber is the type of guy that can get on base, and he might be the guy. So we'll just have to see on that one.
And, Kerry, going back to the pitching end of the equation, are you – I know we've covered this, before, as you know, during the winter meetings and such, but given the concerns about the pitching staff and, the lack of depth at the back end of that rotation, and with Mike Montgomery being relied upon to be that fifth starter, are you a bit surprised that the Cubs did not make more of an effort to retain Jason Hamill? I know that he did not pitch in the postseason. He did win 15 games. Maybe the peripheral numbers aren't as great as the 15 wins may suggest, but still, nonetheless, are you a bit surprised that they kind of let him go so easily?
Yes and no. I think part of it is I really like Jason Hamill as a person, and I know how much he enjoyed being with the Cubs and being on the Cubs staff. So on a personal note, I was surprised. From just a business standpoint, I think the Cubs feel that they were doing Jason a favor, because the starting pitching market was so thin that this way he would have a chance to get a better deal from another team. So that was part of their motivation. And they honestly feel that they have enough depth. They also feel that they're going to find another starter someplace, somewhere, somehow. So I think that Hamill, again, they met with him, they talked to him. I think he understood what they were doing. The Cubs front office said that the discussion went well. I even talked to Hamill's agent, and they felt that really the Cubs did him a favor by letting him go. He can get he might be able to get more money and get more security from another team.
Yeah, that's a good point. And like you said, when you like somebody on a personal level, it's even tougher, you know, to see them go, as is the case with Jason Hamill. I find it a bit surprising that he has not been scooped up yet. We saw Ivan Nova go back to the Pirates for a pretty reasonable deal, 3 years and $26 million. I'm not quite sure what kind of numbers Hamill would command, but I think that he could be a steal for the other 29 teams out there. We'll see what becomes of his future. So, Kerry, you brought up kind of the two main concerns on the minds of the fans with the pitching depth at the back end and who leads off. You brought up the kind of the outside the box thinking of Kyle Schwarber at the top of that lineup, possibly. In your mind, are those the two biggest areas of concern, or is there something else lingering right now that you think might be as concerning as those two issues?
Well, considering the team won 103 games last year, there aren't too many things to worry about, because they've got pretty much the same roster with everybody coming back, with the exception of Fowler and Hamill. The pitching is always a concern. I know I've had emails from some fans who are already in panic mode, thinking that this is going to be like the 1985 season when all the Cubs starting pitching went down. I'm not in panic mode. I'm just not sure that they have the depth that they had at the start of 2016. I mean, Travis Wood, Trevor Cahill, and Adam Warren were options and were decent options. They don't have those three pitchers. And the four that I mentioned that are projected for Iowa's rotation, they're young. Zastrzewski made a great first impression. You just can never have enough pitching. And I'm just not sure that they have enough.
Yeah, I mean, and that rings so true, even for a team, like you said, that won triple-digit games, obviously won the World Series, and yet they have as many, concerns and what-ifs as almost any other team out there because, as you said, and everybody would agree, you can never, ever have enough pitching, especially these days with the way the game is played. Kerry, shifting gears a little bit, something we did not get around to discussing before the holidays, but Jason Hayward appears to be taking some extra steps to bounce back from a disappointing offensive season in 2016. He's as good defensively as he's ever been, if not better. But I know that you wrote that he's doing some extra work in Arizona and doing not only more physical work, but some mental work as well, perhaps, or working with a mental coach. Kind of explain that and explain, what he's doing to get back to hitting the way that we know he can.
Don't think I wrote that. I think what it was that the mental skills coach is the one who posted the photos of Jason during his workouts. They're good friends down there. What I found interesting with Jason Hayward is that he actually moved and bought a home in the Phoenix area so that he's closer to the Cubs facility, and this will enable him to go over there and work out. And he worked with, got a head start right before Christmas with John Mailey, the Cubs hitting coach, and also with Eric Kinski, the assistant hitting coach, and was over in Mesa doing some drills. And it's just baby steps, it's first steps. I found some of the fan reaction really comical. I mean, fans were already doing breakdowns on his swing and what he was changing. And I give the guy a break. He's trying to get back to where he was when he was successful. Give him a chance to work on this. Give him some time. It's great that the players have this kind of time and have the facilities available to them and don't have to worry about whether or not they have to come up to the plate and drive in the game-winning hit, and do something like that. It's just the fan reaction just strikes me as very funny. Let's take a deep breath. Jason Hayward is a really good ball player. His numbers were not a fluke. I think that if people would just be patient, they're going to see the guy that hit 293, the guy that hit, double-digit home runs. I think it'll all happen. We just need to give him some space.
Yeah, let the guy breathe, right?
Yeah.
I know that Theo Epstein had some very telling comments, and one thing that he said that struck me was that it's almost impossible for any athlete to make wholesale mechanical changes during the course of a season. I think that gets lost on a lot of fans. You have your hot streaks, your cold streaks, but to make wholesale changes, extremely difficult in the day-to-day grind of a baseball season. Now it's the offseason, obviously. He can make these changes and get back to being the player that we know that he can be. And hopefully good things in store for Jason Hayward in 2017. Kerry, have to wrap up with a great story. Explain to those who might not be aware, who Joe Cubby Hubby Mendoza is. I love the nickname and why he just might have the coolest, most understanding wife in the world. This is a great story.
Well, apparently, Joe had told his fiance Amy that if the Cubs won the World Series, that he wanted to get a Cubs tattoo. And apparently Amy said no, so she compromised, and she allowed him to wear a full Cubs uniform on their wedding day. And the couple got married in Las Vegas, naturally, and he had a full Cubs uni on, number 16 on the back for the year 2016. It also said Cubby Hubby, which I'm not sure I would have gone out in public with, but that's okay. And she was dressed beautifully from the photos, but she went along with this. They got married. He also had a W towel from Game 5 of the World Series tucked into his back pocket. She had given him tickets for that game at Wrigley Field. They live in Los Angeles, and they sent me some other photos, which I did not post. One included an Elvis impersonator at their wedding, and they also took a photo of themselves in front of the Paris night casino down in Vegas. So I give Amy a lot of credit for being a good sport. I know that Joe's very happy. He was tickled by the story and seeing his photo up on the Cubs site. But I've heard a lot of Cubs decorated cakes at weddings after the World Series win. You know, people that have passed away have been had Cubs memorabilia in their caskets. It's quite 2016 is a year that Cubs fans are not going to forget, and they're going to continue to celebrate probably long into 2017.
As well they should. And to have the Elvis impersonator at a Las Vegas wedding, that's icing on the literal wedding cake right there. Great story to wrap things up. Kerry Muscat, thank you for the time as always. We'll do it again soon. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.